Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300.
Outrage addiction just makes us all stupider, and it prevents us from being able to understand key distinctions, prevents us from being able to properly analyze and interpret very simple concepts that are in front of us.
That's why I think it's so sad that patriarchy has become a bad word. God is our Father. No one understands the importance of fathers better than Christians, we who have God as our Father.
At least in American evangelicalism, there is this idea that the Holy Spirit works only through spontaneity. You got to be making it up on the spot, or else it's not spiritual. The Holy Spirit apparently only works through improv.
Farmers in South Dakota, listen to issuesetc.org while combining our corn and feeding the world.
Imagine that you were taken from everything you knew and that was near and dear to you, your home, your country, perhaps even your family. And everything that you left behind, that you were forced to leave behind, was more or less destroyed. There was no realistic, humanly speaking, realistic prospect that you'd ever go back. And if you went back, you would, well, have to start from scratch. And of course, add to that that you brought all of this on yourself. This is the predicament that God's people face when they are finally, at long last, having tested and tried God at length, having been warned by the prophets again and again, called to repentance over and over again in the face of their own unrepentance, sent off into exile. It didn't just happen for political reasons, it happened for theological reasons, and it wasn't just the doing of those empires that conquered them, it was God's doing as well. And yet, God makes a promise. So, in the face of that, how is it that they do not lose hope? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois, on this Monday afternoon, November the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on God's people going home in Ezra and Nehemiah. Pastor Tom Baker will be our guest. We'll spend some time with Pastor Larry Peters, talking about pastoral discretion and the biblical doctrine and practice of closed communion. In the next hour of Issues Etc., we'll look forward to Sunday morning, talking with Pastor David Peterson about paying taxes to Caesar, but more importantly, rendering to God what is God's. That's hour two of Issues Etc. Feel free to join us with your questions or your comments. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson today, God's people going home in Ezra and Nehemiah, Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
So how is it that, although in various stages, God's people spend decades exiled from their land and everything that they had known, how is it that they don't lose hope?
We can see in a lot of false religions that hope is there, and the reason for their hope is because of the despair that they're experiencing here on earth. It's unfortunate that the hope that they have is unbiblical hope. It comes out of their own minds and is always based, of course, on the basis of their works. But the hope that Israel had is not based on what they think they're going to be able to do, but on the word of God. There's a couple of things we can look at. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, God says that he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God has given you. He will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. We also have prophets like Jeremiah, who, though he proclaimed that they would be going into exile also indicated that they would be returned from exile. So I would say, in answer to your question, Todd, that the basis of their hope was on the promises of God. And then they began to see them fulfilled while they were in captivity. Cyrus, a king of Persia, was allowed by God to defeat the Babylonians. And verse 1 of Ezra says very clearly that the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing. And it basically meant that the people from Israel could return to Jerusalem for the building, not only of the temple, but also of the walls. And so this hope was grown in them, first of all, on the basis of the promise. And when you're in great despair, you're looking for promises. And second of all, on the fact that events started to move in their direction.
Why were they in exile in the first place?
They were in exile because also in Deuteronomy 28, God had said that if they failed to keep the covenant with God, if they failed to believe in God, then they would be taken into exile by a foreign nation. That also was a promise. And you see, once God makes a promise, it's like the law of the Medes and the Persians. It's not ever going to be broken. So this promise was a way in which to wake up these people to what they had done. It's like a parent. When we chastise our children, it's not because we hate them. It's because we love them and we want them to learn not to do what they have been doing. And so through this chastisement, they were put into a state where they repented of their sins, much like David did with Nathan after his sin with Bathsheba. And so the promise of the blessing then kicks in when God sees that repentance. And guess what happens? They end up going back not only to Jerusalem at a specific time, but at the time that was promised, namely 70 years after their exile, they would have the first group of people return to Jerusalem. And that's exactly what happened under Zerubbabel.
They return, but it happens kind of in stages. And when they return, there is much, much work to do, isn't there?
Yes, there were enemies in the Jerusalem area who did not like these people coming back. And so they immediately began to do sacrifices to God, offerings to God, and prayers to God that he would protect them. So Zerubbabel, he led the first group of returning exiles. And then 60 years later, Ezra led the second return, and they had the job of rebuilding the spiritual condition of the people. Then another 40 years passed when Nehemiah led the third return of exiles, and that was specifically to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So you are correct, Todd, that this was just added up, 70 and 60 and 40, 170 years went by before the third group of exiles came to finish the building of the walls of Jerusalem to protect them from their enemies. And God kept his promise, not only returning them to this land, but also in protecting them while they were rebuilding the temple and the walls.
One of the things that is remarkable is that they had forgotten essentially the Bible of their time. We're talking here about the first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, which is simply referred to as the Law of Moses, the books of Moses in here. And the people had more or less forgotten all of this.
Absolutely correct. And that was the purpose of Ezra. Ezra was a scribe, and he was going to be put in charge of the rebuilding of God's people in a spiritual sense. And in that way, he did that. In fact, at the dedication of the temple, he was reading from the five books of Moses, but he was also teaching them before that. And it is that which moved the people to want to obey God because of the way he had kept the promise. It's the way it works in Christianity. We as pastors get people to increase in their good works, not by giving them the law, namely, boy, you should do this, you should do that, but by telling them about what Jesus has done for them. And when they see their hopes fulfilled in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they have a relationship with him that wants to obey him. So the law in that sense moves from the second use of the law, which is accusation, showing them their need for repentance, to the third use of the law, namely information from God as to what his will is for us today. And that is accomplished by the motivation of hearing the gospel promises connected to Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection.
So what they're hearing when Ezra is reciting this long-forgotten covenant of God, they're hearing of God's mighty deeds of old. They're hearing about the Exodus and things like that.
Plus, they're hearing the promises to Eve. Well, it was to the serpent, the devil, that through her seed would come the Savior. Also, to Abraham, that Abraham was promised by God to have a son, even though he and Sarah were very late in age, and that son would also lead to be a blessing to many nations through his fruit, through his seed, which, of course, is finally Jesus Christ. And remember, Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That righteousness that is necessary to have in order to get to heaven does not come from our personal good works, but it comes from being given the righteousness of Christ himself, the robe of righteousness, and that's why heaven is open to all believers.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Monday, the 13th of November, God's People Going Home in Ezra and Nehemiah in the Old Testament. Pastor Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. We'll be right back.
Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
I was standing in a pulpit doing this sermon on Good Friday. I was contemplating and planning my own death.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Today, what I'm going to talk to you about is the story of depression and mental illness, and especially the story of how this fits with the gospel and what incredible treasures we have as Lutherans who kind of get two kingdoms, body, soul, and spirit, who understand what it means to suffer.
You can listen to Pastor Peppercorn's presentation, Making the Case for a Lutheran View of Depression, on an audio DVD from both of our 2017 Making the Case conferences. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300. Look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It's tough to be Lutheran in America these days. Our families, our schools and churches, even our most deeply held beliefs and values are under fire. We need unchanging truth in a world full of confusion. The Lutheran Witness magazine can help. For less than a quarter a day, get the best of Lutheran reflection on faith and life, theology and culture, delivered monthly right to your mailbox. Learn more at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of Law and Gospel. God's people go home from exile in Ezra and Nehemiah. So it takes a long time for them to return. And when they return, as you mentioned before the break, Tom, they've got a lot of work to do. They have to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, much less in time, think about the rebuilding of the temple. But it never really reaches its former glory. Is that in part to show these people that what their ultimate hope is was not to simply return to what was, but their ultimate hope is in how God would fulfill these promises ultimately in Christ?
Yes. In fact, I found a point in the Growing in Christ series I had never really thought about before, but they defined what exile means. If you ask most people what exile means, it means that you are away from where you once lived. But that's not the full meaning of exile. What the Sunday school lesson did is explained that it also means you are away from the temple. You see, they had no temple in Babylon in which to do their sacrifices, to pray to God, to come into his presence. They were in true exile. So when Ezra and Nehemiah returned, of course, there was real destruction as well as enemies against them. And their first goal was to begin to rebuild the wall and the temple so that they would no longer truly be in exile. Even when they returned, one could say, therefore, they were still in exile. And it kind of reminded me today of one of the fastest growing groups of religious people in the United States. We call them nuns, N-O-N-E-S. These are people who believe they're religious, but they're not affiliated with any denomination. In other words, they really don't have a temple or a sanctuary to go to hear about God, to worship God, and to receive his many blessings. In a sense, they don't think they're in exile, but they really are in exile. And this would be a big point I would want the Sunday school teachers to make to their Sunday school children, that what can move you away from God, which can put you into exile, is to stop going to worship services, to Sunday school, etc. Because outside of that, you will never really hear about the true God. Unless you're listening to KFUO, of course. But that's the only radio station in the world that is consistent with proper theology. So what are the odds of that you're living in an area where you can hear it unless you go to the computer? So exile means to be away from God where you can worship him. And that's why it is so important that, as Hebrews says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because that brings us back into the presence of God.
I want you to go into a little more detail on the fact that they were separated from the temple, and therefore, we would say, in a New Testament sense, separated from the means of grace, those very things by which God had given them the access to his forgiveness and mercy. Does it mean that they were without God's mercy all those years in exile?
No. The interesting thing about God's promises is that he follows you everywhere. In fact, I was very pleased to see how they talked about blessing in the Sunday school lesson. It says, consider the many ways that God has blessed you, even when the curse of sin's burden has seemed at its heaviest. And I've been trying to explain blessing on the basis of the Beatitudes because they sound kind of ridiculous. Blessed are you if you're poor in spirit, or if you're hungering or thirsting, or if you're being persecuted. How is that a blessing? Well, it's a blessing because while you're going through these difficult times, God is still keeping his promises. Now, what better way can you hear about his promises except in a sanctuary, in a church? And what better way can you receive, especially in the New Testament, the blessings of his promises, namely the means of grace, baptism, and specifically the Lord's Supper? They were not receiving any of these items when they were in Babylonian captivity. And so to return to Jerusalem, that was something they really looked forward to doing. And the Bible says the first group of people was over 40,000 that came in order to return to their homeland. And one of their primary goals was to rebuild everything. In fact, if you look at Nehemiah, and this is another point we must make here, that God fulfills his blessings also through the secular world. In other words, the temporal world. It's not only within the church. Nehemiah starts off that he is in front of the king, and the king sees that he seems to be sad. And he asks Nehemiah, why are you sad? And he says, how can I not be sad when I see the land I came from in such ruins? Well, guess what? The king not only gives him permission to return to the land, but he gives him a lot of gifts, and he gives laws that no one can touch a Nehemiah or these people or attack them. And we saw with Cyrus, you know, he's a Persian king, and yet he allowed Ezra to return. And so I might want to talk about how here in the United States, we Christians are up against a lot of things that are very dangerous to the faith. Things, for example, like whether or not an abortion can take place, whether or not gay marriage, etc. And we could give some examples to the children on their level. But what does God do? We're hoping that the new Supreme Court justice, for example, is one who will help put a stop to the secularistic direction in which this country is going. And so we can give praise when these things happen in the temporal realm also. This is why a lot of times Pastor Whedon, in his general prayer that we can use on Sundays, often talks about praying for the government and our temporal leaders, that they might understand the word of God properly, and therefore God will use them to continue to bless the Christians in their area so that we can have proper hope as we see God's promises being fulfilled, not only in the spiritual realm through the means of grace, but also in the temporal realm when certain laws are put into a place that are in sync with the word of God.
Maybe a simple question to kind of round this off for the Sunday school children. Can Christians, can the church today, does it need to fear the prospect of God's judgment in exile?
In exile, do you mean that we would be taken into exile?
That God would separate us from the means of grace.
Yes, we should not fear that, because God will never separate us from the means of grace. Only we will separate ourselves from the means of grace. That is by becoming a nun, N-O-N-E-S, or by not reading God's word or praying to him or reading the small catechism, for example. But God's blessings will still come to us even when we fail. As the Bible verse says, though we are at times faithless, God is always faithful. And so I think that would be something that ought to be getting across by the Sunday school teachers to the students, because in the worst of situations, God was still blessing his people, moving hearts of unbelievers to help them out, and then getting their hearts joyous as what you said, which began our program, they now had true hope on the basis of his promises.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for November, is a familiar book. It is Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, but it's a new edition of this. Nothing new in Luther's Small Catechism itself, but the explanation tends to need updating every once in a while, especially, as Pastor Baker had mentioned, the church faces all kinds of challenges from the culture and an unbelieving world, and our children and we ourselves need to be constantly instructed by God's Word as to how to respond and how to faithfully confess in the midst of those challenges. That's where there's Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 edition, the Issues Etc., Book of the Month for November. Find out more about this necessary resource for you, your family, and your church at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 edition. When we come back, we're going to talk about the biblical practice and pastoral discretion of closed communion. Pastor Larry Peters will be our guest.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Orphan Grain Train is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During November, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Orphan Grain Train. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you. Good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Are you living in central Iowa and longing for a church where the gospel is boldly confessed in all of its purity? Are you tired of hearing the latest purpose-driven How to Live Your Best Life Now TED Talk? Are you desperate to hear the preaching of the cross, which brings you and your children the knowledge, peace, and comfort of the gospel? Then come to Holy Cross Lutheran Church. Located in Carlisle, Iowa, at the southeast corner of Des Moines, we're a short ride from everywhere in the city. Visit our website, holycrosscarlisle.org.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
40 Years Greatly Blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
We don't know anything about this formerly blind and mute man.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
What we do know is what Jesus did for him. And what Jesus did for that man, he is doing now for you.
Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.